Hey, you want that to go?
Hey, our news takeouts. It's a full house here. I'm down in Washington with Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, John. Welcome to Washington.
And up there with you, Miles, it's Ibrahim and Louise in the studio, right?
We miss you. We miss you.
All right. It's the whole takeout family. Let's begin with Todd Zwillick. The headline this morning out of Washington is the president may have, or has he, selected a date for the State of the Union speech.
Well, House leaders have confirmed and the White House has confirmed that January 27th, which is next week, John, will be the date of the State of the Union. It was a really strange state of affairs that we got this late in January without knowing exactly when the speech will be, and it's been a confusing state of affairs. They've been saying the whole time, the Democrats, we want to have health care done so the president can wrap it in a bow and thank Congress and present it to the public at the State of the Union.
Right.
But as we know, the health care bill wasn't done. If you want to have it done before the State of the Union, they simply didn't schedule the State of the Union. Now they've got a schedule.
Deadlines have been slipping.
That's exactly right. And this has been a whole confusing state of affairs. And we've confirmed another thing from Congress, which is with all of the confusion in Massachusetts, will Democrats even have 60 votes in the Senate by the end of the day? All of these health care negotiations that have been going on are now in doubt. And Democrats have now been hatching a plan that's been confirmed to me that what they may have to do instead of negotiating a health care bill is simply have the House pass the Senate bill.
The Senate wouldn't have to re-vote. So there'd be no question of the 60 votes.
There'd be no question of the 60. However, the Senate bill has no public option, abortion language that the House can't stand, no tax on the rich, which the House insists on. Last week, I had a conversation with a liberal member from Massachusetts, Representative Peter Lynch from just outside Boston, about this very scenario. And listen to this prescient statement that Peter Lynch made.
If Massachusetts doesn't go the Democrats' way, one way to address that here is to have you all pass a Senate bill to avoid having to go to 60 again over there, because there wouldn't be 60.
They don't have the votes to pass the Senate bill in the House. They do not have the votes. I can guarantee that. Something has to change.
Something has to change. What's it going to be?
Nobody knows. This is truly a murky state of affairs. You see a liberal Democrat from Massachusetts reflecting just how difficult a spot the Democrats are in. Now, one thing seems to be pretty clear. They're not going to have this done by the State of the Union. Primetime speech, the president can present an agenda. He's not going to be able to thank Congress for health care. He's going to have to say, we're on the precipice.
And how many Democratic senators will be in that,
exactly.
In that chamber? Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
Sure.
Back to you, Miles, in the studio in New York.
Let's do some more takeout, shall we? Late night talk show host Conan O'Brien is leaving NBC. Have you heard about that a little bit?
Just a little.
Rumor has it he will tape his last show next Friday. And when he goes, he might also leave behind this popular skit.
It's premiere night here for Attack of the Clones, but outside the Ziegfeld Theater is the real show, Return of the Dorks.
Ah, yes. Triumph the Insult Dog, a recurring character on the show, Pimpbot 5000, Conando, and then there's that bear. We won't say what the bear does. 16 years worth of intellectual property. Louise Story is financial reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Louise, this is kind of shades of what happened when Letterman left for CBS. Could he take the top 10 list, all that kind of stuff. Let's talk, first of all, about what kind of intellectual property there is that Conan might be able to take away. I'm sure it's all part of the negotiation, right?
So Conan not only has these characters who you named, but also particular skits like the Year 3000 skit. He's been on there 16 years, so of course, all of the things he's known for are property of NBC, and this has been
NBC owns it all?
That's typically how these things work, but you negotiate over it, and apparently this was a big part of their negotiations. You know, he's leaving with some $40 million.
But is it really have any value to anybody else?
Well, that's the funny thing. You know, it's hard to imagine these skits without Conan.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes when networks keep these characters, it's a little bit of kind of a, goodbye to you. We're not giving you your characters.
I mean, you know, it's
but
not
wouldn't
like
you
Leno's.
Love to see Brian Williams do Pimpbot 5000?
I'm not sure that would work. You know, when Letterman left NBC to go to CBS back in the early 90s, there was a similar fight. He lost the ability to take some of his skits with him, but he simply renamed them. So viewer mail became the CBS mailbag, and the character Larry Bud Melman, that actor kept coming on, but he came on under his real name, Calvert DeForest. And, you know, the top 10 list got renamed the Late Show Top 10 List. So you might see something like that with Conan. There was a funny, I don't know if you remember, when Letterman first went on CBS, there was a funny skit where Tom Brokaw came on from NBC. And he came on and he went over and he grabbed the cue cards and said, oh, sorry, these are property of NBC. And then Letterman said, well, legally, I can continue to call myself Dave. So I'm sure there'll be humor around this.
He checked with his lawyers. All right, Louise Story, thank you very much. We'll be watching that development unfold because the saga continues. Late night TV.
Apparently NBC doesn't want to own Conan's hair, I guess. Our last takeout, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, takeaway sports contributor. There is a new star in the NBA, and it's not in the East. It's in the West. Ibrahim, where should we look at the NBA right now?
Well, yesterday, if you paid attention to any of the basketball on during the Martin Luther King Day, Oklahoma City, which formerly was the Seattle SuperSonics, was playing the Atlanta Hawks, and it's a battle of teams that are sort of lower top tier teams in the NBA. But the key player on the Oklahoma City is a guy named Kevin Durant. He's 21 years old. He was a 2007 Rookie of the Year. He averages 28 points per game. He's 6'9" with a 7'5" wingspan. He is the next star of the NBA.
Incredible. And where did Durant come from?
He was a star at Texas. He played there for 1 year, and now he jumped to the NBA. But let's not forget about college basketball right now, because Texas and Kentucky, up until last night, Texas was undefeated with Kentucky. And then last night, Kansas State beat Texas in a thriller where some of their top players were reduced to rubble underneath the Kansas State pressure. It was a really amazing game. But now you have Kentucky that will be the only undefeated team in college basketball. So the college basketball game is heating up right now.
Wow, there are two takeaways, Kentucky and Kevin Durant, who also entered the NBA straight out of college without graduating, right?
Correct. He was a freshman and then he went straight to the NBA.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, takeaway sports contributor. Those are your takeouts.
There we go.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.